Taking over this session to present you the cloud connector for Skype for Business. Okay, Tamara?
Yep.
Okay, over to you.
Cool. Dilipa said, thank you very much for coming in this evening. So let's begin. So I think most of you would know what Skype for Business is. And Cloud Connector Edition is the newest addition for Skype for Business portfolio. And let's go through with the presentation. So basically the Cloud Connector consists of four VMs that put together to deploy the whole solution based on Server 2012 R2 Data Center Edition. And the purpose of Cloud Connector is basically to allow on-premise PSTN to be used with Skype for Business online users. So that's the only bits that sitting in on-premise, and the rest of it would be in Office 365. And like I said, it runs on Windows Server 2012 Data Center Edition, and basically runs on Microsoft Hyper-V only. That's the only hypervisor supported at this point. There's no supportability for VMware as of now. And the bare metal hardware would be basically a customer-supplied server. And the server roles that consist of Cloud Connector, the CMS version, cut-down version of CMS, there is, and Edge server, the mediation server for localized PSTN processing. So that's about it for the Skype for Business roles that's sitting in on-premises. By the way, if you have any questions, just ask during the session. I believe everyone can hear me well.
Yeah. So if you have any questions, just let me know so I can pass that on to Tamar.
Yeah. Cool. So going to why the Cloud Connector, what's the purpose of it? So basically, it's countries like US, Microsoft have their own PSTN voice in cloud, so we don't want anything on-premise. So basically, Office 365, Skype for Business users would have voice in cloud. You can have a number, and basically, you can use it. But countries like Australia, Sri Lanka, better part of the world, it doesn't have that features enabled yet. So that's where the Cloud Connector comes in to fill out that gap. So basically the Cloud Connector would connect to whatever the on-premise PSTN connections that you would have, SIP trunks, ISDN E1s, PRIs, so that the 365 user can leverage these connections to make and get calls. And there are certain customers that doesn't want to have a lot of hardware that want to maintain on-premise. They want everything to be on cloud, like Amazon or Azure. So we would know that as of now, Skype for Business doesn't support any of those hosting platforms. And for those clients, you could have this CCE on a bare metal hardware. It's just one hardware that you can have this running. So limited amount of hardware that you need to maintain on-premise. And the other thing is they don't have any Skype for Business presence on their site. So let's say it's maybe they would have Office 365 Skype for Business. But if they have like on-premise version of Link or Skype for Business, it's probably not a good addition for them. I would talk about it in the later stage of the presentation. So deciding is the CCE the right choice? So this is what you call the decision tree. So before you make the decision to go ahead with the CCE, you should consider this. So basically, if you have existing PBX that you need some specific features and you want to have those features moving forward, so best option would be to use an on-premise version of Skype for Business Server, at least with hybrid with Office 365. And if you want, some of these users might not want to use those features. So then again, obviously you're not in US, so Why not the on-premise deployment, Sky for Business deployment? And you could have a cloud connector, sorry, cloud PBX with the on-premise deployment, the hybrid version that I was talking about. So yeah, basically going through with decision tree can basically get an idea of is the cloud connector is the right choice for the customer premise before moving forward with the deployment. Because when you deploy the cloud connector, but then it doesn't match the customer requirement, and it's really difficult to provide the features that you want to the customer, because it's very limited amount of features available with the cloud connector. So before moving forward with the decision, it's always good to have an idea of what you are basically delivering and what's the expectation. Okay, so the feature comparison. Have a look at the table, what's available now in on-premise and the cloud connector and hybrid version. So if you look at the cloud connector, some features like call admission control and branch survivability is not available. Media bypass is not available. And private line, call via work. So as I mentioned, there's only limited set of features that available with this. So it's really very important to have a look at this before moving forward with the recommendation for the customer. So then you would know what's the best option that you can deliver the expectation. So it might not be the CCE, but then it could be the Office 365 hybrid with the on-premises Sky for Business server. So yeah, I mean, it's very important to go through with this first. So traffic flow. So this is basically how the signaling and RTP and SIP traffic would work in, sorry. Yeah, so basically if all of your users will be registered on Office 365, and the SIP traffic, signaling traffic is the yellow, so it always follow through Office 365. And the red arrow is media. So whenever the media is coming in, it would go through the existing telephone infrastructure and to the PSTN. So this existing telephone infrastructure can be a PSTN gateway, Microsoft certified gateway, or an existing PBX that's connected directly to the cloud connector's mediation server. So it can be many different versions of it. But looking at the media flow, media doesn't really go to Office 365 unless it's a meeting. So the cloud connector will only come into the picture if end users making or getting a PSTN call. Other than that, the cloud connector will not really in the picture. Cloud PBX with, so we are talking about cloud PBX here with on-premise PSTN connectivity. So does anyone know what cloud PBX is? Anyone?
Yeah, anyone knows cloud PBX, what cloud PBX is? Yeah, I think a couple of guys know. Do you want me to ask them to explain it to you?
Yeah, that would be good.
Okay, probably we can give a t-shirt then. Okay.
Yeah, that's
Yeah, so guys, just raise your hands. What is Cloud PBX? Okay. So what is Cloud PBX?
Yeah. It's a way of, how do you say, he can hear me, right?
Can you hear him? What's your name?
Yeah, I can hear.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I can hear Sean.
Yeah, our cloud PBX is basically having PSTN connectivity from Office 365 and directly to a service provider where you don't have to have any internal stuff, right? users will directly connect to the cloud, and the Microsoft itself will have termination to their service providers.
It's in a way it's right, but there's some additions to it. It's, again, in a nutshell, it's correct, but the cloud PBX is not only that. Cloud PBX is, let's say, based on availability, cloud PBX available in worldwide as of now, but to use cloud PBX, there are some other components that you need to have. If you use cloud PBX just now, you are just having only peer-to-peer and conferencing, no PSTN voice. But if you have cloud PBX plus PSTN voice in cloud, both together will form a different solution. So that's the ideal solution that one can have, like there in US. So you can either have cloud PBX without PSTN voice, or you can have cloud PBX with PSTN voice on the countries that's available. So yeah, in a way that it's what Shehan said is right, but that needs to be added in. So it's not only that the PSTN voice part, but cloud PBX as a whole, it can be used in worldwide, whereas PSTN voice is not available in most of the countries as of now.
Right, so I'm going to hand over the T-shirt to Shehan.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can go ahead.
Cool. So, talking about the cloud connector architecture, like I said, there's four VMs deployed on a host. So I didn't talk about how these VMs get deployed. I'm just gonna talk a little bit about the technical stuff for it. So what happened is these VMs, they're not available to download from Microsoft or anywhere. What happened is there's a script that you need to fill out with certain information like customer domain, IP addresses, and host names, and all sort of stuff. And you feed that information into the script, and then you point it at for a ISO, so 22LR2 data center ISO. And when you run the script, it'll build all the VMs by itself using that ISO and install the services and everything. The downside is if you made a typo or anything during that script, you have to do everything from the scratch again. So there's no way that you can go in and correct what you have, where you have made the mistake and move on. It'll then again, you have to redo the whole steps during the session. But that's, again, that's something Microsoft looking at to improve. So yeah, that's how basically we deploy the cloud connector. And and the other part is the cloud connector uses the resource forest model. So within the cloud connector, it'll deploy its own domain controller and a forest, and it'll gonna integrate with the customer's domain via trust relationship. And dial plans, so based on the location, the dial plans is getting assigned. So basically, let's say in Sri Lanka, you would have dial plans based on Sri Lanka if you select the country, and you can't have customized dial plans for it. So it's kind of restrictive. And external SIP DNS point to Sky for Business Online. So there's no DNS pointing to on-premise Sky for Business servers. So all pointing to Office 365. And the another downside is this can't co-locate with any of the Sky for Business on-premise servers. So if you have either Link or Link 2013 or Sky for Business, there's no migration path from that to Cloud Connector. So either way, you have to power off your on-premise deployment and deploy Cloud Connector separately, or just use the on-premise deployment, because the purpose of Cloud Connector is providing PSTN voice, right? If you have already an on-premise deployment, you already have that option. So there's no point of having the Cloud Connector anyway. So they have not made that decision to have an integration option between on-premise Sky for Business and Cloud Connector. So it's like hybrid. So users getting created on premise, then it will get it synced to Office 365 using Azure AD Connect or Direct Sync. So that's there. And by looking at the diagram, you can see the server version, the application version sitting there. There's a mediation server, each server, domain controller, and the storage, it is the CMS. So each cloud connector can support two PSTN gateways as a failover. And So simulating a user signing in experience. So it'll go, the first time it'll go to Office 365 Sky for Business infrastructure, and then it'll go to the edge servers. So this is when you sign in, it will always sign in with the Office 365 because there's no on-premise registrar in there. It's all Office 365. And when users making a call, it will go to the edge server first. So this is the signaling path, and it will go to the mediation server. And mediation server will go to the PSTN gateway based on the routing configuration of the mediation server. And then the media flow will start to come in. So as you can see, the red arrow, it doesn't go to Office 365. So it just directly go to the edge servers and then mediation server and then goes to the PSTN gateway. So this is basically configured to preserve the bandwidth. There's no point going to the Office 365 and coming back. And this is the other version that you have two cloud connectors. Basically, Microsoft recommend you would have two cloud connectors sitting in DMZ for high availability. And you can go up to three or four gateways based on your requirement or number of concurrent calls. So if you look at the signaling and media flow here, it's the same thing. And if another user comes in on a different different location, so that can you can either way direct to either one side, or you can just load balance between two sides. That'll go to edge mediation, and from that side you would have a different PSTN gateway connected to it and route calls from that user there. So this is kind of like a multi-site deployment. So you can have up to four instances per site. It's based on number of concurrent calls. So basically one cloud connector, it supports, based on the hardware requirement, it supports 500 concurrent calls. And there's another one that supports 50 concurrent calls. So I'm going to cover that later on the presentation. So if you want more than 500, so you can keep adding the boxes to it. So it'll up to four instances. So you would have like 500 times n number of calls. Yeah, so this is basically talking about the different PSTN connectivity, inter-site connectivity basis. So at any given time, it doesn't go, if one user's coming into one cloud connector, it's different site scenario, two site scenario. Voice would never cross site to site. It'll always use the gateway within that site to terminate the calls. So that's how the configuration is being done. If you have two cloud connectors, it doesn't support disaster recovery like the on-premise. On-premise, you can have kind of like a pool pairing scenario. If one goes down, you can have the other one up and configure it as the primary, but in here there's nothing like that. So yeah, that's again another downside of it if you have like multi-site scenario. Thinking about voicemail, so voicemail will be handled by Exchange as usual. So Exchange would have a voicemail content deposit, compliance and archiving in there. Features, you can have personalized greeting, message rating indicator, NWI, reply to voicemail with call. So these are some of the features that they have even now with Office 365 Exchange Online. So this is they keep on developing these features that they're going to add more and more into the list when it's going on, because Microsoft's really putting more effort into the Cloud PBX than their on-premise. So because it makes sense to develop the cloud version of it, because on-premise server platforms, they're actually going away. So they're not putting much effort into it in terms of developing more features. So requirement, reviewing the requirement. So basically, you're not looking at having anything or integrated with on-premise for business. So basically, it's supposed to be greenfield or Office 365 only. So nothing on-premise there. And you would need to have Exchange Online for voicemail. On-premise Exchange is not supported because there's no integration methodology for on-premise Exchange. And you would need to have a qualified PBX or a session border controller gateway to do the PSTN integration and the dialing conferencing. So basically, the dialing conferencing is provided by either Microsoft or a Microsoft certified provider within Office 365. So that's there. So it's unlike Office 365, unlike on-premise Skype for Business, you can't really use the conference bridge that it has with the on-premise. It's all Office 365. So unless it's Microsoft provider or a different third party. And the same as the on-premise, you would need public IPs, certificates, DNS, and certain firewall rules that you need to sort out for the edge role that's sitting on cloud connector to get the hybrid connectivity done with Office 365. So that's there. Capacity. So standalone CC capacity, 70% internal users and 30% external users. And when I say 70-30, there's another statement from Microsoft saying cloud connector doesn't support hosting platforms. That being said, the requirement that they draw the line saying hosting is the 70% traffic generated from internal, 70% traffic has to be generated from internal interface of the cloud connector, and 30% traffic should be external. So if you host this on some sort of hosting platform and deliver the services via the edge role, so it'll consider as 70% traffic generated from external. So that's not a supported methodology. But if you have something like a private cloud, that you have a data center, that you have fiber running from there or MPLS, so then Microsoft would consider as that 70% is generated within the network. So it's kind of supported. So basically, with this, you can't deliver the services using the edge role, like some of the hosting providers do. So it has to be either on-premise within the network or a data center within a private cloud connected to the general organization. So it should be, ideally, technically, it should be on the same LAN. And the, like I said, there's two versions of it. So there's a larger version, looking at the hardware requirement. So they're talking about dual hex core, 64 gig RAM, and 600 GB disk space. So frankly, for me, it's just too much. And a lot of people agree with it. And it can handle up to 500 concurrent calls. So, and the smaller version that they came up. So initially, when they first came up with it, there's only the larger version. But a lot of people were not happy about it, and they had to come up with a smaller version, which can now they have, that can handle up to 50 calls. The hardware configuration that they mentioned, it's acceptable. So it's 32 gig of RAM, kind of like a half of what they were asking. So yeah, I mean, compared to the larger version, smaller version is acceptable, and 50 concurrent calls. So any small to medium organization, it would fit based on the concurrent call requirement, of course. So
Tamar, before we proceed to the next section, do you all have any questions? Yeah, I think we have a couple of questions, Tamar.
Yeah. Sure.
You have mentioned this 70% internal and 30% external. Now, on this OCCF scenario, how does the cloud kind of differentiate which users are internal and kind of rest are external?
So it's basically the traffic generated from edge servers, internal interface, and the external interface.
Okay. Any other questions? Any more questions?
Any more questions?
Shall we proceed? Yeah. Okay, we can proceed.
Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about the hardware vendors. So we know that Audio Codes and Sonos, they have Microsoft certain deployments that they have on their hardware, like so SDA, Survival Branch Appliances, that they support within their own hardware. So they have come up with certain hardware that can support CCE as well. So they have in their main in their websites, they have published what they have there, going into a little more details. So basically, the Audio Codes, they have HP based server that can host CCE as an appliance. So basically, what they have is a same deployment experience as what Microsoft provide. When they're doing the CCE deployment, it's command-based deployment. And another thing that they support is they support PST in high availability based on AD-based routing configuration. They support certain failover scenarios, which natively from CCE that you can't get. So because this is my vendor's hardware, so it only supports a limited number of concurrent calls. So let's say the one that you have 500 users that only support 185 concurrent calls. And the hardware that they have, so the other one that they have with median 800, it's the smaller version of it. And they have all the VMs deployed on their OSN module. And it's kind of like the upgraded version of what they have now in their market. So this is basically they have released a couple of months ago with their latest firmware, so it's available. And of course, the CCE software is free from Microsoft, and they only charge the OS license apart from the hardware. And as it's a gateway, so it would have the PSTN capability anyway. So they have actually developed this to keep in line with Microsoft has with the deployment. So the experience would be the same. Moving into what Sonos has, it's a little different. So they have their own kind of like a GUI version of it that more easier to deploy rather than going through a script. And it runs on the front of their advanced version of their ASM modules. So it's a kind of like a beefed up CPU and memory. So it runs on 2012R2. And it's basically what they're offering is they have within their gateway all the TDM and analog components that they have even now. And they offer reliability and security to it. It's a different layer of what Microsoft provides. So compared to Audio Codes and so on, it's a little different offerings, but both of them support all Microsoft CCE deployments. Either can work for the time being until it's completely PST Invoice is available in cloud, so either one of these can use as an appliance for CCE. Okay, not sure if I've talked too much or less. Questions?
They're thinking.
I think I have to ask two questions as well.
Yeah, you have to ask two more questions, yeah. So we'll see who are concentrating and who are not.
Yeah. Okay, can I ask the questions?
Yeah, I think they're ready.
They're ready? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Can somebody tell me what are the scale for business roles that's included in CCE?
Yeah, so the question is, what are the scale for business roles that are included in 16GB, right?
No, the scale for business roles that included in Cloud Connector.
Cloud Connector, okay, yeah. All right. Yeah.
CMS. Okay,
so the answer is CMS, Edge Server, and the Mediation Server.
Yep. There okay. Is right.
So we have Abhinav. So one more question to go.
Yep. How many concurrent calls that the smaller CCE version supports?
Raise your hands, right? We have two guys. The answer is 50.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
You have to divide the shirt between those two.
I think they're getting the large one, so yeah.
So any other questions from the audience? Okay, one question, Tamar. Yeah.
Yep.
Pricing with the appliance, he said that the pricing was free. If I'm going with the appliance, is it still free or will there be a charge?
So the question is like, if he's not going with the appliance, will the pricing be free or will it be charged?
The Cloud Connector is free from Microsoft. There's no charge associated with it, apart from the OS license, so $22 data center license, of them. So that would be the only cost.
Okay. Right.
CCE itself is free.
Yeah. Any more questions? Yeah. The main difference between Skype for Business and the. Okay, I think this is a bit related to remote support. So he's asking what is the difference between the Skype for Business app and the TeamViewer when it comes to remote support, right? Yeah.
Okay, so it's a different topic, but
so
TeamViewer, it's something different. So Skype for Business, you would. When you talk about the remote support for Skype for Business, you would need to have the whole infrastructure in behind for the end client to work and support all these modalities. But the TeamViewer itself is a single client. It runs by itself and you can have one-to-one sessions with it. But Skype for Business, you can't do that. So Skype for Business, you need to have Skype for Business servers in on-premise or Skype for Business in Office 365 to do it. And I mean, it's not only support, you can leverage on many different other features with Skype for Business as well. And it's manageable because if you have an on-premise Skype for Business, you can manage everything out of it. I mean, the bandwidth and quality based on QoS, everything you can manage, it's your own. But TeamViewer, it all runs on the internet. You don't really have any manageability of it.
Yeah, so thank you, Tamar. Though it's a off topic, I think quite your doubts, right? Yeah. So
usually I get that, what's the difference between Skype and Skype for Business?
Yeah,
It's a different
exactly.
one.
Right. So any more questions
Cool.
before we
Okay.
wind up? No, all good. So I think that's it, Tamara.
Cool.
No more
No worries.
questions from the
Thanks,
audience.
everyone. Yeah, thanks for listening. Cheers.
Yep, thank you. Thanks.